Sanford Health has conducted a youth football study. It was published in a national journal. And joining us now is the leader of the Sanford Research Study, Dr. Thane Muntz. He is a PhD, Associate Director of the National Institute for Athletic Health and Performance at Sanford Health in Sioux Falls. Dr. Muntz, hello, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about this study, if you would. How did it work?
Sure. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard about concussions in football. And another concern that people have are whether the multiple repetitive hits that football players realize during games and practices, if those hits, even if they aren't becoming injured, are having a poor effect on their brain function. And when you realize that 70% of all football players in this country are younger than high school age, that's a population that we want to look at. As a lot of parents are concerned about whether the sport of football is too dangerous for their son. So that's what got us started us on this research project that we undertook and was published.
How many youth football players did you follow for this research, and for how long?
Sure. We worked with a middle school group of players. These were 7th and 8th graders. We tested 12 players before and after the season. Two of those players ended up getting concussions over the course of the season. So we did our full analysis on the 10 non-injured players, because, again, that's who we were really interested in, were the players who weren't injured but were still getting hit several times over the course of each practice and game, and hundreds of times over the course of the season. So we did several tests of neurologic function, including balance, memory, reaction time. We tested them immediately prior to the season and, again, right after the season.
How did you do it? Did you have something in their helmet or something?
We used some standard clinical assessments, and these are assessments that are used on athletes who are suspected to have concussions. We thought that that would be an appropriate battery of tests to use, because that's how we diagnose concussions in a clinical setting. So we wanted to see if they are being impaired or if there's damage occurring to their brains just by playing the sport of football. Maybe they'll do worse on these tests and we can detect some damage that's occurring. So we used a standardized computer test for the memory test, some reaction time, visual motor speed. We used the platform that we had the athletes stand on to measure their balance. And we had a computer test to measure reaction time. And we also had a reading speed test where they read numbers off of a card as quickly as they can. So that made up the basis of our measurement.
Okay. And you also measured things. Did you measure something through their helmets, like the magnitude of hits and the number of times that they took a hit?
Well, we're doing that now. So we've moved from the initial pilot study to more recently, we've been working with the same age group, and we've instrumented helmets with small sensors called accelerometers that measure movement. And we can measure the number of head impacts, the location of those impacts, and the force of those impacts in all of the players at every practice and every game. And we're in the process right now of accumulating that data over a couple of seasons for this age group. And what we want to do is correlate those hit metrics with their performance on these various neurologic assessments.
Thane Muntz is our guest. Dr. Thane Muntz, Associate Director of the National Institute for Athletic Health and Performance at Sanford Health, talking about the youth football study that's been published in a national journal. And if you would, please, Dr. Muntz, tell us what you found.
What we found is that on all of the tests that we conducted, the players did at least as good, if not better, after the season. So the question of whether or not their performance or their function on these tests was being impaired, we found not to be the case. Again, they were not impaired, or there were no deficits found on any of the tests, whether we look at that as the entire group or as individual players.
Is there a way to know if any damage that may have happened in their youth up to 18 may have residual effects down the road?
That's something that this particular study wasn't able to capture, but we're certainly interested in those questions. And we're starting to build a data set of athletes now that we've tested in their middle school years. And that certainly sets up the situation where we could follow them up long term, because what we tested was immediately after the season. So there is a possibility that damage occurred in their brains, but it's not really going to show itself until several years down the road. So we can't discount that as a possibility.
Sure, of course. And so that's the next thing to study, I guess?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at some ways in which we can do some more longitudinal assessments of players and include a larger number of players as well. This was a small start for us, but it gave us some initial information. In this age group, the information on brain injury in football is far and few between. And
it is
a good initial start for us, and is helping us to help direct us toward those next steps, which include the monitoring of the head impacts. But also we want to look at those long-term effects.
Absolutely. The 10 youth football players that you assessed and that you followed during their season, will you do any long-term follow-up to them, with them?
For those particular individuals, some of them were actually involved in the second year of our study, which we haven't published yet, but they were part of the group that we put these sensors in their helmets. So we do have at least 2 years of data on a subset of those athletes. And we haven't determined right now how we're going to follow them up, but because we do have some good baseline data, at least data from them at this age, it presents a situation where we could follow them through their high school years. If any of them go on to play in college, or even if they just go on to have normal lives, we can go back and compare their test results to how they performed at the age of 12, 13, and 14.
I think youth football, as high as it is in our community, I think that there has been some decline in kids joining youth football because of this issue. If you had a 10-year-old or 12-year-old, he wanted to start playing football, how would you advise him? The president wouldn't let his son play if he had a son.
You're right. You know, participation rates nationwide have gone down in the past couple of years. So the big question that parents ask is football too dangerous? But before you can even address that question, you have to understand how dangerous is football. It's the difference. And we're just at the beginning stages of trying to identify what the risk of brain injury is in football for different age groups. Then it's going to be up to parents and players to understand what that risk is and decide whether they're going to accept that risk or not. But right now, it's really unfortunate that parents don't even have that information to make an informed decision about knowing how much risk is there. We can only speculate, or we can only be cautious about some of the long-term effects that we've seen from professional players. And that's what a lot of people have used to guide them. But I'd like to point out that, you know, the NFL players that have been used and that have been shown with some really tragic cases, they don't necessarily represent the vast majority of players, football players nationwide, because of their exposure and other health history issues. So we really need to work hard at this younger age group and understand what the risk of injury in that group is, so that parents can make informed decisions.
Doctor, this is Jack Sunday, Sandy's partner. It'll be interesting if, from your sample group, if any of them go on to play college football and then maybe NFL. And I would probably make a bad analogy here. I would think that maybe this might be like smoking cigarettes, at least on this silly level, is that a person might smoke a cigarette when he's 16 years old, the summer of his 16th year, and never get cancer. Or maybe he will. And that's kind of the same thing when you talk about testing 12 and 13-year-olds. You know, maybe you'll have serious problems as a result or not.
You know, and that's a good point, and that's starting to become an area of research, understanding that two individuals may have the exact same exposure to hits to the head, and one person may suffer an injury or experience brain damage, and another person may be perfectly fine. So there are likely genetic differences among players that dictate whether or not their brains are going to become injured and the severity of that injury. So again, we're just really scratching the surface of this whole issue of understanding what the risk is, who's most at risk, whether that's a short-term and or a long-term.
Dr. Thane Muntz, I thank you very much for your time today. We look forward to continuing to stay updated on your research at Sanford Health. Good work, and the pilot study can be seen online or in the Journal of Child Neurology. And joining us is the leader of this youth football study, and led by Dr. Thane Muntz. Dr. Muntz, thank you again, and we'll talk again, I'm sure.
Great. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.